اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، و صلی الله علی سیدنا محمد و آله الطاهرین. فالیوم لا تظلم نفس شیئا ولا تجزون الا ما کنتم تعملون ان اصحاب الجنه اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وازواجهم في ظلال على الارائك متكئون. These are verses number 54 to 56. Now the verse 54 talks about or denies any dhulm, any injustice being done on the day of judgment. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. This day, no soul shall be wronged in the least. وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And you would not be recompensed but for what you were doing, certainly in the other world. This is because this is now a conversation going in the hereafter. So, it talks about this world in the past tense, what you have been doing. Now, you come across many verses in the Quran which denies the dhulm, injustice, wrongdoing being done on the day of judgment. You might think that why such an emphasis? While we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, He would not wrong anyone. Why should we think? Why should we come across these many verses that talks about no injustice being done on that day, emphasizing it? And amidst all our knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. The point about this is, the type of punishment or the type of ordeal, let's not call it punishment, the kind of ordeal that the mujrimun, the wrongdoers would go, would tolerate on that day is so great that it comes to our mind that this is not just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wronging them. He's doing injustice to them. Because for a very short while that they lived in this world, they are being so severely punished for so long a time. So this comes to the mind that there is a kind of injustice going on the day of judgment. And of course Allah once and again stresses in the Quran when He's describing the type of life that the zalimun have on the day of judgment, that this is not a zulm. And in fact the ayah is a type of argument putting forward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why this is not a zulm, why this is not injustice. This is not injustice because وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You are not being recompensed but for what you have been doing. In fact, this is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought upon you. It is something that your actions have brought upon you. It is something that you yourself have brought for yourself to this world, to the hereafter. So, there is no dhulm, no wrongdoing. Now, what is dhulm? I mean, if we analyze it a little bit further, dhulm is, as they explain it in Arabic, they say it is وَضْءُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرَ مَوْضِعٍ. If you put something somewhere to which it does not belong, if you place, for example, someone somewhere to which that someone does not belong, that is dhulm. If you punish good people, this is dhulm. You have done something to someone who does not deserve it. On the other hand, if you reward someone who does not deserve it, who is a wrongdoer, this is dhulm again. But of course, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you enter the realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these things would fade, the meaning of these type of things that we have in our own relationships would fade to some extent. I mean, you could say, well, couldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive everyone? I mean, for Him, forgiving is not something which would affect the world or would affect him. He can forgive everyone what they have done. So, isn't it really wrong? Isn't it injustice to punish someone so severely just for 60, 70 years that they have lived in this world, and perhaps they were out of their minds, they didn't know what they did, they really were ignorant of what type of life that they should have. So this comes to the mind that this is a type of dhulm, this is a type of injustice. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains for us that if He really can forgive someone, and He does not, it is a dhulm. Yes, He has committed, He has done something which is unjust, but the point is, if He forgives, it might have some outcomes which would lead, which would affect others. Therefore, that would be another dhulm in itself. Now, for example, in many verses, you hear Allah talks that He is not Zallam. Zallam is the exaggeration of Zalim. In fact, it takes it to the extreme. When someone is Zalim, they are wrongdoers. They do injustice. But if they are Zallam, they are extremists. Wrongdoers. They are really unjust. Now, Allah in many places in the Quran says that وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. He is not that extremist zalim to his servants. Why? Because it comes to the mind that if he really does something to a servant, to his slave, to someone whom he has the control of his life and everything, at the least type of wrongdoing, he is Zallam, because he's so powerful. If he wants to do something which someone does not deserve, he becomes Zallam. ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاكَ. Whatever he's done to you is for what you have sent forward. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Your Lord is not Zallam, is not an extreme wrongdoer. Because if in the least he does something which you do not deserve, then he is wrongdoer. Then he is extreme wrongdoer. He is Zallam. If Allah forgives someone, which after being forgiven, they continue to do wrongdoing in the other world. If someone who does not deserve to enter paradise enters paradise, what would they do? Either Allah should completely take their free will and let them go into paradise, then they don't enjoy it. Then they have changed their type, their species, they are not human beings anymore. Or He should continue giving them free will, but put them in a place that they deserve, that they do not wrong others, that they do not destroy the life of others in paradise. So, in fact, what comes to us, as it is mentioned here, it is because of what we have done and how we have shaped our personality. There is no punishment, no reward. Allah uses this type of terminology, this type of literature, very much in the Quran. There is a reward and there is a punishment. But then He explains it. The reward and punishment is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring to you as a judge, for example. That's, it is a type of conventional rule that Allah has set. For example, if you do robbery, then conventionally I am going to punish you like this on the day of judgment. It is not like, it doesn't work as it works in this world. Our punishments and our rewards in this world are conventional. In fact, we set a rule that whoever does this, for example, whoever succeeds in the high school or in the university, we give them a reward or a diploma. This is a convention, isn't it? It's nothing real. The real thing is what you have learned. But you might not learn anything at all, and you might be given the award You might be given the credit, okay? And you might learn much more than what is needed. And again, you are given the same award. So this is a convention. It is a convention that we cut, for example, in Sharia, we should cut the hand of the thief when they do robbery. This is a convention. Of course, it's a convention taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it still is a convention. It's not the real thing. It is not the real repercussion of our action. Now, in the other world, in the hereafter, of course there is reward and punishment, but it is not conventional anymore. It is real repercussion of what you have done. It is your personality which unfolds there. And that is your reward or your punishment. So, if this is the case, if وَمَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, this is just what you have been doing. It just has unfolded. It just has developed into a new form, into a new shape. So if this is the case, then there is no zulm. Zulm comes when there is a convention. I mean, you might say, okay, to set a law that, for example, if someone passes the traffic light, they should be executed. You say, well, this is a very unjust convention. I mean, this for such a small crime, such a big punishment, this is not right, this is not just. It comes when there is a convention. Now, what if someone tries to pass the red light and they are faced with another car and an accident comes? You wouldn't say that this is unjust, is it? I mean, you have been having an accident because you passed the red light, because you ignored the red light. It was an accident. And you might have been killed, you might have been injured very severely, and no one would blame anyone else that why you have been as such. I mean, passing the traffic light might end in death, okay? But no one would say this is a wrong punishment, this is not just, because we know that this is the repercussion of such action sometimes, okay? But if, I mean, you pass the red light and nothing happens and the police catch you and say, okay, because you have done this, we would execute you or we cut your hand. You say, this is a very, very severe, this is unjust punishment. Since in the other world there is no convention, so to speak, conventions belong to this world. In the other world, there is no convention. It is just the reality of the actions that show themselves. Then, of course, there is no zulm, there is no wrongdoing. And, of course, the one being who looks after all these repercussions coming rightly to people, repercussions, not rewards and punishments, coming rightly to people is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, you would know that he is not going to do any zulm, going to do any injustice. There is no injustice at all. It is just your actions that you see, you visit, you revisit your actions, so to speak. يَوْمَ تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ. The day every soul would experience what they have sent forward for themselves. Now, this is a very, very nice thing, because in this world, we do not experience our wrongdoings. We do wrongdoings, of course, but we are ignorant of what they bring to us. They bring, of course, every wrongdoing has a repercussion in this world. There is a conventional, of course, punishment or reward for whatever we do, and there is a real repercussion or reward for whatever we do in this world. For example, if you give money to someone who deserves to be given money. If you do give sadaqah to someone who deserves, for example, your relatives, your parents, or your children, or anyone. This, of course, brings the acclaim of others that you are a good person. These are all conventional things. But there is a real reward as well in your heart. There is a real reward in your life, which you do not see it, you do not feel it. You do not feel that this is the reward of what you have done. But it comes to you, you feel it. You experience it in a way that, of course, you are unaware of it. But when we go to the other world, we experience it and know that this is the repercussion of that action, or this is the reward of that action that we have been doing. Our salat, for example, you do salat all your life, and if you do it correctly and rightly and in its place, then after a while your heart opens, you can feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around, and all these things which come with a correct salat, okay? Well, you have all these feelings, but you are not aware that these feelings are because of the salat that you have been continuously doing during your lifetime. But when you go to the other world, you see the reward of your salat. You see your salat actually being incarnated into a reward for you. And you know that this is what you have done. You experience it, you taste it. This is the meaning of يَوْمَ تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ. The day every soul would taste, would experience what they have sent forward for themselves. Their actions, of course. وَرُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. And they are, of course, returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is their real, real master. He controls everything that belongs to them. So, if this is the case, then, of course, there is no zulm under. It is not possible to imagine that a zulm might happen, an injustice might happen in that world. And this is, of course, because of that underlying system of justice that I have talked about previously. It is working in this world, it works in the other world, of course, in full strength, and very clearly and very brilliantly, that everyone can see that this is that system of justice is running all through. And it is in this way that you cannot see in the Quran that the people of Jahannam, the people of hell, would ever say anything that we do not deserve this. We did not deserve such a severe punishment. Why are you punishing us like this? They just say, yes, we wronged ourselves. You do something about it. You see, they know that this is what they have brought upon themselves. They know that this is the repercussion of their actions. Not even the repercussion of their actions. It is their actions. It is their actions which has unfolded in this way. So they know this. So you never see in the Quran a quotation from people of hell saying that, oh God, we did not deserve this. Why such a severe punishment? They just say, you do something about this. Just let us die, and we do not experience the repercussions of our actions or our actions anymore. So if this is the case, then of course there's no zulm. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never do injustice to His servants. وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنْفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But they themselves wrong themselves. We have given them free will, we have given them all the qualities that a great being needs, and they continuously wrong themselves. They continuously bring repercussions of their wrong actions upon their souls in this world, while their souls go dark, they don't understand anything, they don't feel Allah's presence. And in the other world, of course, مَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. In the other world, as well, they cannot feel that presence. They cannot enjoy feeling that presence. And one very interesting verse in Surah Kahf, when it talks about the great book, when it is opened, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفَقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. This is verse number 49 of Surah Kahf. The book is laid down, and you would see that the mujrimun, the wrongdoers, are so afraid of what is in that book. Of course, the muhsinun, the good doers, they are happy. The book is being laid down, their actions are there, they are very happy. But the mujrimun, وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ مُشْفَقُونَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. The mujrimun, you will find them very frightened of what is in that book. يَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لَهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What type of book is this? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It does not leave a small action or a big action, but it has brought it. It has brought it into account. It is there. Now, it has brought into the account. It is accounted for in that book, whatever they have done. But what Allah says at the end is, وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا هَذَا. They find there in that book, what in that book, what they have done, they found it present. They find their actions there. Not the reward or punishment of their actions is written in that book. It is their actions found in that book. And that is why they are so frightened of that book. The book does not write that you have done such and such, you have done. No, the action is there. When the book opens, they see the actions. What they have done. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. They see present what they have done. In the other world, they have forgotten it. I mean, what we have done in the past 10 years, 20 years, we have completely forgotten most of it. But that book, the action is taken completely. Of course, it is taken by an angel, because how an action is captured, we don't know. We know how sound is captured, we know how vision is captured on TV, but we don't know how action is captured. How the all dimensions and aspects of an action is captured. There are angels that Allah has created which do this work in this world. They capture actions, all these aspects, completely. They put it in that book, which that book is, of course, itself a very great angel. Because we don't know what are the angels. There are many different types. And it records the action completely with all its aspects. So when the book is opened, they see their actions present there. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And again, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord is not going to wrong anyone. It is just you yourself who have wronged yourself. And of course, lots of other verses that we have here, but the latter part of this verse is very, very interesting. وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You are recompensed with your own actions. In fact, Allah is not punishing you or rewarding you. It is your actions which is returned to you. And then you are recompensed by your own action. You are not recompensed, but with what you have been doing. What you have done is returned to you, and you see it in a book, sort of a book. It is put together. Now, imagine, our personality changes during time, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we are good, sometimes we are bad, sometimes our personality persistently continues with a type of quality. And that quality becomes a part of our personality. And at other times we might lose that aspect and become completely a different person. So, when our actions are put together on the day of judgment, an overall personality is shaped for us. And that personality is us. Which of course we have forgotten it. As they are put together, when they are put together, you see your personality during 60, 70 years that you have lived, all together in one incarnated personality in you, a personality which now incarnates in you, in your new soul, in your new body. And you are those actions which you have done. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. Now, usually the Arabs believed in good omen and bad omen. And this is what we call chance. I mean, chance is something which does, well, according to Muslim philosophers, does not exist at all. There's no chance in this world. According to the Arabs, chance was good omen, bad omen. They said, for example, someone is lucky, someone is unlucky in this world. And someone who's lucky, well, many things come to them and they have very good luck in everything. And someone who's unlucky, usually they are miserable. Every type of calamities come to them. Now, Quran says there's no such a thing. Of course, there are predestined things about every person, but this is not due to luck. This is due to the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not matter. You might start from different stations. Someone might be here, someone might be there, and they start from different stations, different starting points. But what comes to them is the actions that they do. Well, the actions that they do actually determines what type of person they are going to become. It does not matter if someone is poor or rich. This is not important for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that rich man and that poor man, they might act, they might behave in a way, in different ways of course, but that behavior determines whether they are lucky or they are unlucky. In our own language, of course. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no luck. Everything comes back to what we do. What we do with our free will, of course. Now, the Quran says, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. Ta'ir is, ta'ir is bird, isn't it? But usually the Arabs used to predict good omen or bad omen with birds. They said, for example, if a bird flies from your right hand side, you are a lucky person. If a bird flies from your left hand side, you are an unlucky person. Well, they had their own complicated rules of determining good omen or bad omen, luck or unluck. Now, Allah says, your ta'ir, your bird of luck or unluck, is not what you say. It is in your neck. It is actually bound to your neck. And it is your action. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. On the day of judgment, he would open that omen for him, that book. And he would see, he would meet that book opened for him. Now our book is closed. Our personality is closed. Our personality changes, we just live in a moment of time. But we are not this person who has lived in this moment of time. We are different persons in different times. That is a closed book for us now. On the day of judgment, Allah says we open it for him. أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا. We bring it out as a book, as something which is classified, which is put together, which is bound together, and open it for him, يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. اقْرَأْ كِتَابَكْ. Now read your book. This is you. This is you. I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to reward you. Of course, as I said, Allah uses this language, but He explains it for us. That's what I mean by it. I'm not going to reward you. I'm not going to punish you. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٍ. On that day, no one is going to punish him. وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٍ. No one is going to bound him. It is he himself who is bound with they themselves who are bound with their actions. So, اقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. I'm not going to take you into account. You yourself do this. This is you. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And if you see that people of hell actually resist going to hell, it's not because they feel that they don't deserve it. It's just because the gravity of the repercussions of their actions is so great that they just want to resist going towards it. But of course they are driven towards it. They want it or they don't want it, they are driven towards it. Now, there is one question here. If this is the case, so where's the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if Allah diminishes the punishment of a person by forgiving them, is this a type of zulm? Because, I mean, we are going to receive the repercussions of our actions, isn't it? So if we receive those repercussions, then Allah should not forgive anyone. Or should not increase the thawab and reward of anyone. Isn't it? So the verse says, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Usually in the interpretations of the Quran, when you come to this verse, وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. They say there is a discrepancy between this and the verse which says, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. For them there is whatever they want, and with us is more. And we give them that more, of course. And if Allah is going to give that more, then the reward and punishment again becomes a bit conventional, isn't it? As we discussed, it's not conventional, it is just the reality of our actions which come back to us. Now, if this is going to happen, then it becomes conventional. And again, then the concept of zulm and wrongdoing, injustice comes in. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even His conventional reward and punishment would not contain any zulm and injustice. But just for the sake of argument, it would come to the mind that there might be something like that. Now, the exegetes have mentioned a few things, a few type of solutions for this discrepancy, that if the reward is bigger than the what we deserve for our action, and repercussion is less than what, well, if it's bigger, if the repercussion is bigger, of course it's wrong. Allah never done injustice, and that's why you hear in the Quran several times, "Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amsalah." Whoever comes with hasana, with good actions, we reward them 10 times. Okay, so if it is just the reality of the action, why 10 times? Why not 20 times then? Why not 30 times? "Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amsalah." 10 times. "وَمَن جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا." And whoever comes with sayyi'ah, with wrongdoing, of course, the punishment is just according to what they have done. It's not more. But could it be less? Well, of course it could be less. If it is less, it is not a wrongdoing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just a tafadzul. It is just a mercy. It is a favor done. Now, this is one point put by some exegetes. If Allah diminishes the azab, it is not wrongdoing, of course. It is a mercy, it is a favor. And if He increases the thawab, again, it is a mercy. It is a favor. So, that rule of everyone receiving the repercussion or the outcome of their actions is there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could either diminish it or increase it. Now, if we come to this, then again it comes to mind, if you could diminish the iqab, the punishment, why doesn't He obliterate it altogether? Why doesn't He take it away, remove it completely? So, this is not a right type of explaining the discrepancy between this verse and the other verses. Another explanation put forward is, لَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You are not recompensed, but what you have been doing is, you are recompensed according to the type of your action. Not that you are recompensed completely for what you have been doing. But if the type of your action was good, you are recompensed with a good reward. And if it was bad, you are recompensed with a bad punishment. But again, it doesn't go with the idea that everything is the outcome of the action, not a conventional type of thawab and iqab. Now, Allah Ta'ala in Al-Mizan has somehow more convincing solution for this. He says that this type of argument looks at the compensation of the action. Of course, the compensation for the action, the recompense for the action, if it's good, you have a reward for it, you have a good outcome for it. If it's bad, there is a repercussion for it. But if things are given more than what you deserve, then that does not belong to your action at all. This is something coming without you having done anything. It comes as the situation. I mean, since you are in Jannah, you receive things which are suitable for that place. Not, it has nothing to do with your action. Your action has taken there, okay? And you are there, you have the outcome of your actions, but that place has its own corollary, so to speak. When you are there are things in Jannah which would come to everyone, regardless of their actions, for example. And this is the mazid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. With us is more, and you would receive more when you go to Jannah. And this is the meaning of يُرْزَقُونَ فِيهَا بِغَيْرَ حِسَابٍ. They are being nourished there without any account. When you enter Jannah, then there is no account. You receive things which does not go with your actions at all. Do not go with your actions at all. They are very much bigger and greater than what you have done. But in Jahannam, of course, the repercussions is completely the same. There is no diminishing of any punishment, except, well, there is one exception here. And that exception is when it is possible that the repercussion of the action is removed from you without you being a different person. Of course, this is a difficult type of explanation. But sometimes, if the repercussion of an action is taken away from you, you totally become a different person. I mean, you are not you anymore. And this is not possible. This is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world. You are you all through your life, in the hereafter, on the day of resurrection, in Jannah or in Jahannam, you are you. Now, if, for example, I have done something and the repercussion of that could be taken away, could be removed, in such a way that my personality remains me again, then Allah would remove it. Otherwise, this is what we talked about, takabbur as well. If takabbur is possible to be removed from your heart, Allah would remove it and you enter Jannah. If the removal of takabbur means that you have to become another person, it's not possible at all. It is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world. So, you would remain there. Now, in this world, it's the same as well. But we do not notice it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever calamity comes to you is because of what you have done. Of course, not personally. Quran is not a book of individualism. It talks about human societies as well. For example, we live in a society, you might be a very good person, but if the society is evil, the repercussions of the actions of society would come to you as well, because you are living among them. It's not possible to separate. Of course, sometimes, in very, very remarkable circumstances, Allah would separate. For example, Allah took His prophets out of the society so that the punishment could come to them. Otherwise, the kind of punishment couldn't have come to them. But in most cases, when you live in a society and the society is a vile society, the repercussions of their actions would come to you. I mean, vice versa, if you live in a good society, the rewards of that society would come to you as well. And of course, there are individual repercussions and rewards, there are social repercussions and rewards. So Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever calamity comes to you is because what you have done. It's not that Allah wants to bring it to you. It's just like the other world. The only thing is that we don't realize it here, and we realize it there. Whatever calamity comes to you is because of what you have done, what your hands have obtained. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Of course, He forgives lots and lots of things that you do. Removes lots of repercussions of your actions. And now we come to a very, very interesting concept, and that is istighfar. Istighfar removes the repercussions of your actions. This is very important. I mean, when Allah talks about وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, those who do istighfar early in the morning, before dawn, it doesn't mean that Allah is waiting there so that we go to Him and say, oh Allah, please forgive me, it's a conventional type of punishment and we beg him. No. It is the removal of the repercussions. It means that we go to him. We say, oh Allah, look what we have done to ourselves. What should we do now? You have to forgive us. You have to remove the repercussions of our actions. This is the meaning of istighfar, actually. You have to remove the repercussions of our actions. And this is the meaning of the verse which says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah is not going to punish them as long as you are with them, the Prophet. Because the effect of the Prophet being in a society is much greater than the overall actions of that society. Because the soul of the Prophet, well, would completely overcome other souls and the actions that the other souls do. So, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Now, when you go, what happens? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. If they do istighfar, if they ask for the removal of that repercussions, in fact, their souls become so humble that they deserve that removal by themselves. Again, I mean, we receive whatever we deserve. It's not a conventional type of thing. So, when we wrong ourselves, for example, I'll give you an example. If you give a knife to a mad person, and you say, for example, he cuts one of his fingers, then what can you do? If he comes to you saying, what have I done to myself? Do something. Okay, if you can do something for him, you do. But usually you cannot do anything. In such cases, in such severe cases. Now, what we do usually is this. We have a knife, and that is our power of free will. We have a very, very powerful and sharp knife in our hand. And Allah has given it to us, and has left us with ourselves. Of course, it is with us because of some purpose, because it serves a very good purpose. Now, with that knife, usually every day, we cut our hand, our feet, our different parts of our body, and then every morning we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, look, what have I done to myself? Please, do something about it. This is the meaning of istighfar, actually. You do something about it. And this is what Allah has taught us right from the beginning of creation. When Adam and Eve wronged themselves, they said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged ourselves. Look what we have done to ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you do not do something about it, we are among the losers. We have lost everything that you have given us. We will lose everything that you have given us. So please, you do something about it. And he does something about it as long as it is possible. And the more you do istighfar, the more these repercussions go away. And of course, you have heard that even if you are poor, do istighfar and you become rich, inshallah. We'll continue with this, inshallah. Let's see. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
Can pass these 2 mics, then turn it through to the next. If somebody can pass the mics here on the gents, 4, 5, and 6, please. Can pass the mics, please. So can we start with whoever is ready? Brothers and sisters. Yeah, can you mic yourself? Okay, no, and then you can give yourself a chance.
Never increases punishment for wrongdoing, yeah? What is the point of bringing all this ziyara that we ask for punishment for increasing punishment for all the sins?
Well, that's a good question. What they have done, actually, it deserves infinite punishment. I mean, the type of action that they have done deserves infinite punishment. And what happens? They are going to receive a limited repercussion for their actions. And what we ask really is that the punishment is given to them according to what they deserve. Not, of course, it is never increased more than what they they deserve. But usually it is diminished. And what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that please do not diminish their punishment. Give them what they deserve. There's a nice story about this, and one of the mystics, I don't remember his name now, he was saying that, "Oh God, I ask you, because you are so merciful, I ask you, if you are going to forgive anyone on the day of judgment, you might forgive everyone, we don't know, but if you are going to forgive anyone, please do not forgive the Qatil of Hussein alayhi salam." You see, in fact, he was saying that I'm worried that you might forgive him as well, so please you do not forgive him. In fact, and of course, this has an effect. I mean, our souls has an effect on each other. This is very important. We usually underestimate the power of a soul. And that's why we do not recourse to the power of our souls for solving our problems. I mean, the dua is the power of soul which brings down the mercy of Allah or the wrath of Allah to someone or against someone. And this is the meaning of cursing, actually. When you curse, and if, of course, that curse is in place, if they deserve it, you bring the wrath of Allah down to them by the power of your soul. You see, your soul is so powerful that now that you are sitting here, that soul is he or she. Well, the Arabs call soul she because it's oneness, isn't it? Well, we can't say he or she. But the soul is controlling every soul, every cell of your body, isn't it? It's the soul which is controlling it. I mean, at the same time, you can use lots of your organs simultaneously, and this is the soul which is controlling it. And every cell of you is alive because of your soul, and is controlling it. So if it can control the body in this way, usually we think that it's the body which is keeping the soul. And this is a wrong idea that we have. It is the soul which is controlling the body, and that's why when it leaves the body is dead. It doesn't move, it can't do anything. It's the soul which has this type of power that simultaneously it can control billions of cells in your body. And this is the power of immaterial, unphysical things. And now you imagine about a powerful angel which controls your souls. Now, your soul only controls your body, and your body can take things, and this is our soul, which wants to do it, of course, the body does it, okay. Now, at the same time, I'm watching, I'm winking, I'm talking, my tongue is moving, my hand is moving, my brain is working, this is all my soul, which is controlling everything, isn't it? Now, can my soul ever control your soul? If I'm so powerful, yes, I can. Okay, and this is why people usually sometimes affect each other, influence upon each other's minds, souls, and other things. Okay, now if there is a much more powerful soul, if for example a prophet curses someone, that soul brings so much wrath to the other soul, it controls it actually, it captures it, possesses it. And it is in this way that our souls are possessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is possessing all the souls in these things. So the souls affect each other, influence each other, and when we do pray or do curse someone, that has an effect. Yeah. But it is not going to be more than what they deserve. Yeah.
Sisters? Okay, so first,
you were saying that on the day of Qiyamah, the whole person's actions will be opened up in front of him from the beginning to the end. How does that reconcile with people who are very bad people, but they change in the last times? And for example, Borg was an enemy of Imam Hussein and he changed. Salman Farsi was a fire worshipper and he changed. Will those past actions of theirs also be opened? Surely that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, they open. But there is one thing here, and that is Tawbah. I mean, we can bring in as many as factors that we wish. But I just wanted to put it plain and simple. But then when other factors come in, it gets more and more complicated. When you do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those bad actions are removed from your book, your personality. Okay. And that's what they say, that at-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu. Whoever repents from a sin is like someone who has not committed that sin at all. In fact, it is removed from their books. Then you have actions in your book on the Day of Judgment which you have not done. This is what we have in the hadith, that some people, when their books open, they see actions in their book which they have not committed. Good actions. And they say, oh Allah, so Allah, what is this? We haven't done this. They say, yes, someone did ghibah of you and you didn't have anything bad, you didn't do anything bad to be forgiven for you. So I have taken from their good actions and put in your book. And this is the effect of the souls upon each other, of course. There are lots of factors. If we want to give a full picture, we have to put all these factors beside each other. And then we would see how it operates on the Day of Judgment. And of course, then, if there are good actions and bad actions, for example, there are bad actions from which we have not repented, and there are good actions that we have done, what is our personality there? Of course, our personality is an amalgamation of these things. And then depending whether the bad actions would prevail or the good actions would prevail, we either go to hell or go to paradise.
Sisters?
You said that how Allah will punish us, it's not just punishment, it's a sort of good purpose, because if it's possible, He will clean our soul, then He will make us in heaven. Then, but this is understandable for me, but what about in this world? We sometimes suffer. Sometimes we don't do anything. We just suffer in this world. So does this suffering has a same purpose to clean our soul in this world?
Well, this is a very vague concept that we have about suffering. I don't know whether sometimes, for example, we are poor. But can we say we are suffering? It depends. Sometimes we are ill. Can we say we are suffering? And if we were healthy, we would have been better off. You see, the label of suffering or not suffering is a very subjective thing that's given to different incidents or events by us. We have to really look from the Allah's point of view to see whether that is a suffering or not. But yes, there are sometimes real sufferings. That suffering might have been repercussion of our own actions, might be repercussions of the actions of our society, of our family, of our parents. You see, as I said, we are all interrelated to each other. If we live in an evil society, we would face the repercussions of that evil society. If we live in a good society, we would face the good outcomes of that society. For example, if we live in a society that no poor person would go without food in that society, then the outcomes of that would come to us as well. Because Allah says, if you live in a society in which some people would go without food, would go hungry, then very grave repercussions would come to that society, and you would experience it as well. Although you might feed as much as you can. Okay, but the repercussions of that will come to you as well. So, we are very much interrelated to each other. And, of course, Allah talks about individuals, talks about Ahlul Ghura, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْغُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the people, if the societies were pious societies, God-fearing societies, we would have opened all the blessings from the heavens and from the earth. And if we live in that society, even if we are a bad person, we would enjoy the good outcomes of that. So, first of all, the meaning of suffering is vague. We don't know what is suffering, what is not suffering. Secondly, it might be a repercussion of our own actions, a repercussion of our society's action, of our family's action, so on and so forth.
I've always felt that, you know, in the supplication of Kumail that we do, we ask Allah to remove the sins that will allow our supplication to go up, rise to Him. And there's a paragraph on that. And when I always feel that if I'm really asking for it, then I may get the calamities to purify myself so that this supplication can rise. Because if I'm really asking Allah to forgive me so that, you know, I can have this connection with Him, then He may put me through hardship for me to be able to get that there. Is that the wrong way of thinking?
And you don't really do that dua because you are afraid that you get into hardship, or what?
No. I was just following up from the last. Is that I feel that when we do supplicate, sometimes we really want to be forgiven. We really want the purification. We really want these things. And when we really want these things, we have to go through a process of suffering, or a process of testing, or a process where Allah will say, will test us to say, I want you to turn to me, and the only way you will turn to me in that depth that you need to turn to me is for me to put you through this thing. Because if I put you through ease, if I put you through comfort, you are not going to turn to me in that particular way.
Yeah.
So, when we supplicate, sometimes.
Do we go through all those hardships and refinements? well, I mean, if we do, it's very good. And it's not called suffering anymore. It's just a process of refinement.
What you were
explaining. Yeah, yeah. So, this is the type of answer, actually, yeah. In fact, sometimes our sufferings are the process of refinement for us. So, we cannot call them sufferings. And, when that comes, of course, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to be grateful to Him because of what He has done. Yes.
Yeah, sister and brothers. Sheikh, if I understood you correctly, you said that on the Day of Judgment, every soul, every personality, either in the Jannah or Hell, the real personality will come about, the person will know his real personality when all the various feelings that we get in this world are put together. So in Jannah, for example, if somebody is in Jannah, he will have his unique personality brought to him. And then, so everybody will have different sort of personalities according to his or her combined personalities put together. Then, that it means that there may be some kind of a society or some kind of it calls for some kind of a progression within that state of Jannah, that a person realizes that this is my personality. I probably want to become a better person than the person he's seeing in front of him. Is there a progression? Is there a progression in Jannah of that nature, or the state is just the state of that person is remains there forever?
There is progression, but the distance between different personalities would remain the same, and of course everyone progresses according to their own personalities. They never catch each other, so to speak. They never can get nearer to each other's personalities because there's nothing which can obtain there in this term, in the other world. It's all in this world. So in the other world, you progress, you go forward, you move forward, but you are at the station from which your personality have started. And as you, for example, if someone is this high in his personality and you are here, then you move up and he moves up. So you never catch it. It's like sitting in a train in different wagons. And you all move, but you keep your distance completely from each other. And inshallah, when we come to the verse, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ, in there is whatever they want and whatever they aspire for. This is something which is a very interesting idea in Jannah. Do people aspire for anything, since everything is prepared for them, everything is ready for them? Whatever they want is there. But what is their aspirations? Inshallah, next week we will explain this, the aspirations.